Welcome to Eugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Eugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Eugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Eugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia. Joining me in the studios today is Stone Payton, our associate producer. Good morning, Stone. How are you?
Good morning, sir. I'm doing well, man. How about you?
Well, besides the weather, the heat in Atlanta, Georgia, I'm doing well.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to this show. I haven't had an opportunity to participate on Eugeria in some time. This is always a Very interesting show with a lot of good, strong content. So I'm looking forward to it.
Don't know about the quality of content, but I can assure you that the people who are running it are having fun. Joining us today in Dallas, Texas is Kevin Ritz. Kevin, are you there?
I am.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Well, as I said, before we came on the air, I'm fine besides the temperature, but I think your weather there is even more severe.
Yes, we're as Randy was saying before, we are on day 12 of 100 plus, and there's no end in sight.
That's the fallacy of living in the South in the summertime.
That's right, but we can't complain about the winters.
Well, why don't you go ahead and take it away? We'll go from there.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, joining me today, I have Randy Langford, who is the administrator of the Plaza Healthcare at Edgemere. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Kevin.
How are you doing this morning?
Man, I'm doing great. It's a real privilege to be here.
Well, great. I really appreciate you coming in, taking time out of your morning to visit with us. Let's start off by having you give us a little bit of your background, maybe where you're from originally, where you went to school, and how you ended up where you are now.
Okay, I grew up in Dallas. I was born in Houston, but my family moved to Dallas when I was about six, and so I grew up in Dallas, and actually was a senior pastor for about 25 years in Greenville, East Texas, down in Kemp, and then also in the Dallas area, Cedar Hill, Duncanville area, southwest side of Dallas. I was a senior pastor for 25 years. I left the ministry in 2004. And spent about 6.5 years in the security business. And the whole time I was doing security, I was networking with retirement communities, very large retirement communities, because that's really where my heart was. And throughout that time, I was in the process of getting into long-term care. And so I actually did that, and fortunately was able to get into long-term care. I started working with the Good Samaritan Society, which is the largest not-for-profit provider of long-term care. And then fortunately, by the blessings of God, ended up at Edgemere, and just really love working at Edgemere. It's such a beautiful place. It's kind of a little bit of a taste of heaven on earth, and right there in the middle, in the heart of the Park Cities, and just a beautiful. It's more like a resort than anything else, and just really enjoy working with seniors. I guess because I spent most of my life pastoring. Predominantly seniors, so you just can't help but love them and want to spend every effort you got to take care of them. So that's kind of my story. Came from pastoring to being an administrator, and just love every second of it.
All right, you know, I think a lot of people have similar stories. You know, we ventured here through just different avenues, and that's a great story to hear. You mentioned the Edgemere, which I've been to. It's a beautiful community. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it, the different types of services you offer, and anything else that you'd like to share?
Okay. Edgemere is like a five-star resort. It's a very upscale, beautiful campus with all of the amenities that go along with that. We have an independent living facility that has about 304 apartments of varying sizes, and then on the healthcare side of our campus, we have 72 skilled beds, 22 of which are Medicare certified, and we're in the process of getting all of them certified. That'll be effective October 1st, but right now we just have 22 of the 72 that are Medicare certified, and then we have 91 assisted living apartments, and out of those 91, we have a memory care unit of 31 apartments. So 72 skilled bed, 91 assisted living apartments. That's the healthcare side of our campus. We have a 16-acre campus with over 1 million square feet of buildings, and it's just a really beautiful place. But we really offer a full continuum of care from independent living all the way up to skilled services. And we're real excited here. Probably within the next, I would say, month to 2 months, we're going to build a brand new two-story. It's going to be actually in a cavity that we have between our two campuses. We're going to build a rehab space that will probably triple the size of what we have right now. And we met with a guy yesterday to go over equipment. We're putting, everything's going to be state-of-the-art. And we are so excited about that, to be able to really offer some services that what we're doing now, we're just going to kind of really ramp it up to the next level. So we're excited about offering rehab services for people from the outside as well as people from the inside. So it's just a great opportunity for us.
That's a great, you know, I look forward to seeing that building go up. So tell us a little bit about some of the specific services let's say an independent living resident moves in. What can they expect from your community as far as activities and things that they might enjoy doing?
We have a really outstanding lifestyles department that handles. In fact, we've got a luau we're doing tonight. We've got a Western theme that's going to be going on. We've just got a little bit of everything from trips outside. I know they took some to the. They've taken them to the. We're going to go to the fair that's coming up here pretty quick. We'll be taking just busloads of residents and family members to the fair. We do a lot of activities from going out to eat. To going to various venues here in the Dallas area, to shopping, to internal activities. In fact, one of the things that I'm really working on with the churches in the area is really trying to encourage them to bring their groups into the facility, their children's choirs and their youth choirs and their ensembles, and they have people that play instruments. Our residents love music, and so I'm really trying to get a lot of groups from the outside to come in to perform and service our residents. So we do a lot of, they love bingo. My gosh, they could play bingo every day. They love bridge. We have some very faithful bridge players. And we do about everything you can imagine, from belly dancers to very upscale dinners and wine socials. We do a little bit of everything. We try to really tailor the activities to meet the individual needs of the residents. So that's one of the things that we really try to do when a new person comes in, is to sit down and find out, what do you like to do? Where is your comfort levels? And then we really try to tailor it to meet those needs. We have executive chefs. We have the best food. I mean, it's absolutely outstanding food. We have, I am so blessed to work with some of the finest professionals in this field, and they're all so committed to our residents and committed to the families of our residents. And so it's just a real joy to take each individual resident and really try to tailor all of the services to meet their needs. And everyone has a private room. It's very nice, the services that we offer, from dining to housekeeping to laundry to maintenance. I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to really impact people's lives in a positive way. So.
Yeah, you know, I as a former director of an assisted living, can speak to the value of those activities and how they can really enrich people's lives. And it's great to hear that you have so many things going on that really serve to help them continue to have those happy and healthy lives.
Yeah, and I try to go to as much of those as I can. I love to do the, like when they take a group of residents out to eat, I love to go because I really enjoy hanging out with them and just kind of shooting the bull with them. We have a good time, and you know, you find out seniors they're just little kids in grown-up's bodies.
Right,
you know?
Right.
They like to have fun, they like to laugh, they like to tease, and so we really try to do that. You know, we try to just make it fun, because you know, you don't go to a facility like ours to die. You go there to live.
Right.
And we want
them
to live to the very, very end of their life. We want them to live and have a wonderful time doing it. And so we try our very best to make all of those services something that's memorable and fun. And it's just a great thing. It's an awesome place to work and an awesome group of people to work with and work for.
Yeah, it sounds like it. You know, you were talking about all of the things that you enjoy doing with the residents, which I assume can lead to some great stories about how they've impacted your life. Can you think of a story in particular that...
I really can. I came here. I've been here 3 months now, so I came here from Kansas, and so most of my stories are really from Kansas because I haven't had as much time. we have had we had a, one of our residents that passed away, and the eulogy in the paper yesterday was so complimentary of our staff. You know, the family, in fact, from the funeral indicated that we were like extended family to him, and that just meant so much to me. I was so blessed by that. But I had a guy that had both of his legs removed because of diabetes, and he was very depressed, very, very depressed, and his family had pretty much abandoned him. And so I really tried to reach out to him and just really tried to befriend him. And he would wear various hats in the building. Most of them were K-State. You know, of course, I'm a Texas Longhorns fan. I mean, you cut me and I bleed little Longhorns. So I would always tease him. His name was Walter. And I'd always tease Walter about, Walter, I got to get you something better than that K-State hat. And he'd say, well, get me a Texas Longhorns hat and I'll wear it. And so I bought him a Texas Longhorns hat. And, man, he wore that thing so proudly. And and so anyway, when I was getting ready to leave, of course, he just wept at my reception when I was leaving. And I just knelt down there and hugged him real good and told him how much I loved him and appreciated him. And anyway, I was thinking about him just a few weeks ago, and I actually bought him a Texas Longhorns T-shirt to match his hat, and I mailed it to him. And so I was just glad he got it, just absolutely loved it. And then he's just passed away.
Oh.
And so I thought about what an opportunity it was just to brighten up his life a little bit. And, you know, that's, I think, one of the greatest opportunities that we have is to impact people's lives and to let them know that, you know what, you're still valuable. Because every one of our residents were somebody one day. They were involved in something that was big. They were business owners. They were, you know, professionals in whatever field they were in. They were somebody. And a lot of times they feel like they've been reduced to nothing and of no value when they are in like a nursing home or a retirement community. And the thing that I want them to know is, you know what? You are valuable. You matter. You mean something. Not just to your family, not just to your community, but you mean something because you've made an impact. And I tell you, the more time you spend with those people, the more you realize they have so much to say that we all can benefit from. So it is just a wonderful joy to be able to spend your life pouring yourself into their lives and reaping the benefit of that.
Yeah. What are some things that people who are listening, maybe they're adult children or caregivers of some kind, what are some things that people can do, just simple things to help people remember or help show the elderly how valuable they are and help them remember those times when they did big things?
I think probably one of the most important things, and this is, I think in our day and time, it is even more difficult, but it's just to give them some time. Spend time with them. Just listening to them. You know, so many times we've got, you know, you got your cell phone going on, or you got the radio or the TV going on, and, you know, you're emailing or you're text messaging and all this kind of stuff's going on. And here you got a precious person sitting there that would love to be listened to. And I think, you know, and this is one of the things that I'm really trying to encourage even volunteers that come in, just to listen to them, just to let them talk, you know, ask them questions, you know, where'd you grow up, you know. It was so funny in Kansas because everybody I talked to was from Kansas. I mean, there was nobody there from outside of Kansas, and I used to get so tickled by that because, like, when I ask our residents, where are you from? Gosh, they're from everywhere,
yeah.
You know. And so, but in Kansas, it was so funny. One of the residents one time, she said, well, why would anybody want to come to Kansas? So, and I laughed about that because I thought that was so funny. But I think one of the most important things is just listening to them, giving them some time, looking in their eyes, and listening to them, and then responding back to them, but asking them questions about their life. You know, what did you do? You know, what did you do for a living? Where'd you grow up? And oh, some of those stories are absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, they really are. If you could, you know, we've given a lot of advice already, but is there a piece of advice that you'd really love to communicate with people about how to, you know, whether it's looking for a community such as yours to move to or whatever it might be, what would that piece of advice be?
I think one of the things that I would say, and Edgemere is in the process, we're working on this right now, it would just be a caution to caregivers to take care of themselves, because we see so many people that burn the candle at both ends trying to take care of their mom or their dad or their grandparent. They're burning the candle at both ends, and they are literally wearing themselves out. And that's a real burden of ours. And Edgemere is really taking steps to provide training. We're doing this is going to be starting up in September, but a 6-week course on powerful tools for caregivers. And it's all about self-care. It's all about taking care of you, mm-hmm. because you can't take care of your loved one if you don't take care of you. And so we're really going to pioneer that here in the Dallas area. And I'm hoping that we can partner with other communities like ours to help provide that same training so we can really get the word out. We're also going to be trying to do this through the churches and through the hospital networks to get the word out, because we are seeing a lot of people that many of our residents' children are not in all that great a health either. And so we're real concerned about them taking care of themselves. So that's kind of one of the things that we're really focused on. And we're right now practicing and preparing for that so we can roll that out, I think, in September and start doing courses and offering these trainings for family members and caregivers to help them be prepared for that, because it is very draining emotionally and physically. Right. It's very draining. And so we want to make sure that they take care of themselves so that they can be around to take care of their loved one.
Yeah.
Well, that's some excellent advice. If our listeners wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
They could call our campus, 214-615-7045. They could drop by. We'd love to have them. We're located right there just down the road from North Park Mall on Northwest Highway, between Thackeray Street and Edgemere Street. And our campus takes up 2 city blocks right there. Or they could email me at rlangford, LANGFORD, at edgemeredallas.com. And I'm looking forward to having folks drop by. Would love to give them a tour, let them look at the place. It's an absolutely just breathtaking campus. And as you very well know, Kim, because you were there.
Yep.
But would love to have them. And I also wanted to mention I'm getting married August the 6th.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
And I leave this Friday to go to Fort Collins, Colorado, to pick up my fiance and move her to Dallas. So I'm so ready to get Holly here because it's just been a long journey. So I'm looking forward to that. And I know our whole staff is all excited about that as well. So we're really happy.
Good, good. Well, that's great. Congratulations. All right, Sam. Well, that will do it for us here in Dallas, and we'll send it back to you in Atlanta.
Evan, thank you very much. Randy, congratulations. Let me clarify. Holly knows that you're getting married. Is that correct?
Yes, she does. yes, she does. In fact, I think she would shoot me if I tried to back out of it now. But, we're both very excited.
We've never had a wedding proposal on our radio show. I was hoping for a first there.
But there you go. Hey, that would have been cool. That would have been cool. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Randy. We certainly
thank
appreciate
you, Sam.
It.
My pleasure.
Joining me in Atlanta today, I have a full house. We have 3 guests from the Wesley Woods Transition Senior Program. All 3 of these have vital roles at that organization, that program. So I'm going to begin the introductions for no rhyme or reason, but the first on my left is Karen Michael James. Karen is a licensed social worker for the Transition Seniors Program. Good morning, Karen. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
Good. Next, I have Pat Rich. Pat is a licensed professional counselor with the program. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning.
And last, we have Sandy Glasser, once again, a licensed professional counselor. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning.
And for all of those listeners who have listened in the past, I got all the names right and all the titles right. Now, obviously, we'll be downhill from there. Okay, let's begin. I'm going to ask each of you to tell us just a little bit about who you are and your background. And then once you do that, then we're going to move over to the senior program, the Transition Senior Program. What is it and what makes it so unique? So I'm going to begin with Karen directly on my left. Karen, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am originally from Philadelphia. I'm a transplant and have enjoyed being here in Atlanta for about 14 years. I'm a mother, a wife, a daughter, and a licensed social worker, and I bring all of those pieces to the work that I do. I began looking at children and researching children of incarcerated parents, actually, and I ran across so many statistics that pointed to seniors and how seniors provide care in family systems. And that is really what led me to become interested in working with seniors as a social worker. My prior work has been in adoption, actually.
Oh, great. Well, great. Well, how did you get to Atlanta?
A job relocation.
Okay. All right, great. Mm-hmm. Let's move to Pat. Pat, a little bit of your background.
Well, I'm a transplant, too. I've been here about 20 years.
Yeah, you're a native.
Oh, I'm a native now. Okay. I'm from the New York area where I worked as a researcher for a publication there. Came down here and changed my profession. Went back to school and got the master's in counseling and a certificate in gerontology. What got me into this field was my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And we ran into trouble with her. She had dementia in the 70s and 80s, and there was really no help.
Yeah.
We were in, it's the dark ages.
Yeah.
And I was just totally at loss. And we finally hired a geriatric case manager, which made all the difference in the world with my mother.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, she was depressed too. And so I think this just, going out with her, knowing how to relate to her, was like a miracle.
Yeah.
And there was also no one to explain to me what was going on. So I became very passionate about this, and it's remained with me to this day.
Well, I think you kind of stole my thunder there, because one of my questions was going to be, why is there a program such as the Transition Seniors Program necessary? And I think you just answered it, but we'll get back to that. Thank you, Pat. Last, but certainly not least, is Sandy Glasser. Sandy, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born in Germany. My father was with the military, and so I've lived a number of places, but I've lived most of my adult life in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Like Pat, this was a career change for me. I went back to school and got a master's in professional counseling. Originally, I was also, like Karen, interested in working with children. I have a son who's a cancer survivor. And so dealing with children and healthcare issues. But when I did get this job, I found that I truly love working with seniors. I learned so much from them and their wisdom.
That's great. I'm going to ask either you, Sandy, or Pat, I don't know if you can answer this. Why is it that people such as us who are in this field have both or are drawn to both children and on the other end of the spectrum, the seniors? What's the common tie between those two ages? Do you have any words of wisdom there?
I'm guessing we enjoy nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm guessing.
Now, anyone who would say Sam Grass enjoys his nurturing, but I understand that.
First of all, they are different. Seniors are not children. Mm-hmm. So they're not, they're different, distinct populations.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're not quite as uptight. You know, they're a little bit more genuine.
Yeah.
So that's what's so enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. I when you said that, Pat, it resonated with me because when you're young, you're too innocent to know. When you're in your middle ages or you're starting your profession like me, you're struggling and you realize how mm-hmm. hard and difficult it is. And when you get to a certain age, then you realize it's all a bunch of nothing anyway. So you probably don't care.
You can be more like yourself.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know where to begin. I want to talk about first of all, I want to talk about the Wesley Woods complex and the high level a discussion of what it is. So I'm going to look to Sandy here. Tell us at a high level, 30,000 foot level, what is Wesley Woods?
All right. Wesley Woods has a number of components to it. There is an independent living facility called Wesley Woods Towers. On the campus, there are two nursing homes. One is Bud Terrace, and then there's another, A.G. Rhodes, which is independent but just happens to be located there. There is a geriatric hospital, there's a geriatric clinic, and there's also a health center. And all sorts of health needs for seniors, from dental to psychiatric to medical, are addressed there.
Can one of you speak just very briefly, how did this come to be? How did Wesley Woods come in? Do we have any information about that?
It was originally with the Methodist Church, mm-hmm. and then Emory University bought.
So they're an affiliate.
Emory Healthcare bought.
Yeah, they're an affiliate of Emory Healthcare.
Yes.
Okay.
Now.
Let's move to the Transition Seniors Program. What is it? Pat, you want to speak to that?
It's actually a psychiatric partial hospitalization program. We changed the name about 5 or 6 years ago because it was confused with a daycare program.
Mm-hmm.
So it is for seniors who have been inpatient for a psychiatric reason, depression, anxiety, could be bipolar. And it's a step down from that. It also can be people who are suffering from these conditions can go directly to the program. It's an intensive psychiatric program where it's 5 days a week, 5.5 hours a day, where we do groups, individual counseling, and other services, which we can go into later.
Does a participant in the program have to be an inpatient of Emory, associated with Emory or Wesley Woods? Is it open to the public? How does one plug into it?
Anyone can come to the program who has a primary psychiatric diagnosis. For example, if they are depressed or anxious, they can self-refer, the family can refer, they can be referred from a doctor or a hospital.
Karen, from your standpoint and the social worker's position, I have an elderly father and I'm pulling my hair out. I can't cope. I can't mm-hmm. deal with it. I come to you and look to you and say, help me. Mm-hmm. What are you going to, how do you begin that process?
Well, we have a multidisciplinary team that takes each patient and assesses their needs, assesses their psychiatric needs, and assesses their psychosocial needs, which include family stressors, stressors in their environment, financial stressors, and the like. So what we do is we invite you, your family, the patient, the person who will be the patient into our program, and we talk. We have a conversation, and we find out what's going on. And we assess them to see if they're suitable or appropriate for our level of care. And if not, we then, make the necessary referrals to, whatever resources that you might need in the community.
Kind of a open-ended question to whoever wants to jump in. Why is this particular period of life for an individual and for families so difficult? I mean, again, the name of your program, Transitions. Why do you need a transition?
Wow, that's loaded. and that's that encompasses a lot of what we discuss in groups. Mm-hmm. What this age group is going through right now in this life stage. Families are transitioning. Adults are relocating. They're dealing with medical issues, maybe new diagnoses. Their adult children are transitioning as parents, going through career changes. So lots of different psychosocial issues are converging and intersecting at the same time.
And not to mention a radical change in the physical health of the senior.
Absolutely.
And there's been a real change is that there are many more seniors with chronic illnesses. It used to be at the turn of the 1900s, the average age was 43. Now our life expectancy is way up there. So it's totally a different ballgame.
And no good thing comes unaccompanied by something bad. I mean, that's the problem of modern medicine. Though
yes.
We live longer and we enjoy life. Now we have to deal with these disorders, if that's the way you wanted to describe it.
Right.
Okay. Let's go to exactly what is offered in the Transition Senior Program. What are, quote, the programs offered within that house?
Well, we provide a full day of service. Our patients leave thoroughly having, you know, they've worked for the day. We provide case management services, and that's provided through the primary therapists, who also facilitate group therapy all day. If needed, we assess for neuropsychological testing. We manage medication, and that is managed by our psychiatric staff. We sometimes hold family meetings to discuss discharge planning or post-discharge issues. We provide free transportation within a 25-mile radius, and that's a big plus for a lot of the families. We do provide, and, well, it's not the usual. We provide lunch and snacks, and I'm going to tell you that the seniors, we have had so many compliments. A lot of our, we found, alarmingly so, that a lot of our seniors are not, their nutritional needs are going unchecked.
I can tell you the ratings of this show just went up 25%. But you are exactly right. One of the things, as you all know, what I do in the senior care arena is the nutrition. Very simple. Seniors have an issue about eating well and really eating on a regular basis.
And they don't eat alone.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's part, you know, the fact they're eating together, they've been together all social. Morning, they've been on the van together. It's a social, we're meant to eat together.
Yeah, that's really true.
One of our vans we called the party van.
Okay, well, you're probably going to have to buy three or four of those now after the program. Go right ahead.
Well, just that they enjoyed each other's company so much on the van in their conversation that they started calling themselves the party van.
That's great. I would like for either Pat or Sandy to tell very briefly, describe what the term case management means. I know what it means. I've been in the business for 20-some years, but I can tell you part of the problem in the medical industry, in our industry, is we use terminologies just not familiar with the common layperson. What is case management?
In our program, we meet individually with the patient. We start with a psychosocial assessment. We see what the big picture is in their lives, what their particular needs are. We contact their family with their permission. We get their family involved if they have questions and concerns. And as Karen said, we will do a family meeting if need be, help with family issues, communication, if need be. We do discharge planning. We make sure when they leave our program that they have the kind of social connections, medical appointments, etc., that they may need, so that, because our goal is for them not to relapse and continue on from there doing well.
I find in what my day-to-day activities, profession, as well as this show, that the biggest neglect or whatnot in the seniors is just not knowing and not having someone show them where the resources and how to access the resources. It's a huge, huge problem in our seniors. Pat, I know, and I'm looking at you, and I see it in front of you, there is a special program associated with you that you would like to speak to, so go right ahead.
Well, we also have a program, a group for caregivers, anyone in the community, not just relatives or friends of our current patients. It's called Families in Transitions. It's free. It's the first and third Tuesdays of the month from 6:30 until 8.
I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
Well, we've been going for 3 years. It's an opportunity for, it's a mixture of spouses, friends, adult children to come and talk about what's going on with them, to ask for help, to laugh. We do a lot of laughing, it's a good stress releaser. People come in and they're often resistant to getting help. they need to do it all themselves. They think they've got to do it. Their loved one will not allow them to get help. But they get to a point that they finally, the group works on them too, you know, mm-hmm. that they've got to do it in order to keep going on. And so, and often we've actually recommended Griswold Special Care. And people have been really happy. They've been very happy with that. It's just really lowered the stress level.
Why? What is it about being a primary caregiver that that is so stressful? I mean, why do you need to have this type of support group for caregivers?
Well, they feel alone and embarrassed. They, you know, I think that they feel they should do it all. And, you know, this is expected. And they don't realize that this is a task that not just one person can do. Mm-hmm. And this whole thing, they feel that caring, you know, there's a difference between caring for and caring about. Mm-hmm. So this, the nursing that has to be done, the cleaning, the laundry, it's overwhelming.
Is it common? I'm going to speak personally here. Is it common for a child to live in denial about what's happening with their parents? I know with my parents, you want me to paint a picture of my parents. It's when they were in their late 40s, early 50s, vibrant, out, you know, living life. Whacking on me, it's not the 80 and 93 year olds when they died. It's not that image. Is that a common thing for someone of my age?
I think we're more apt to see that in the transition senior program. Mm-hmm. Those issues with the people who are coming to my program, or not mine, but the families in transition.
You can call it yours.
That's
okay.
Not just mine.
Ed might not like it, but that's
no,
okay.
I shouldn't, but the one that I, you know. you know, their issues are a little different. They're not in denial. If they come to this program, they're not in denial.
Okay.
And the issue isn't just the senior. The issue often is a sibling.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's the family dysfunction that's going on, okay. Not just the relationship with their parent.
Interesting.
So we're dealing a lot with the sibling issues right now.
Karen, can you tell us, give us real quickly, and I don't get into a lot of detail, but just what's the day like in the program from beginning to maybe end?
Well, you know, we start off a morning group. Well, even before then, before group, seniors congregate. And I think Pat spoke to that, which is really very important. The social aspect, even before group begins, our folks come in, they greet each other, they're sharing information, they're becoming closer, they're making friends, mm-hmm. and they're connecting with folks that, you know, they wouldn't normally have known. They're getting, you know, snacks and things like that and settling in. And then we begin our morning groups. Our groups typically in the morning are more far-reaching. Their content is more emotional-based. And we have two rather intense groups back-to-back. The group members then take a short break, and then we have, you know, four groups, and then we have two more before lunch. So they've done a lot of work, mm-hmm. before lunch. Mm-hmm. Lunchtime is wonderful. They bound out of the, you know, the group rooms, and they have this wonderful meal that they've, mm-hmm. been looking forward to. Again, socializing, connecting with others, and the wonderful thing that happens are the offshoots, things like, you know, group members walking outside with each other and connecting with maybe a primary therapist to talk individually, or all of the, you know, the side things that happen. And then, you know, in the afternoon, we have, you know, our afternoon groups, which are structured a little more, they're a little more structured because people are tired, mm-hmm. at that point, ready to move on. Now, throughout the day, our patients are also seeing their primary therapists, okay. for individual sessions, all right. as well. And they're also maybe speaking with one of our neuropsychologists if they're being evaluated. And lab work is going on. So it's a very busy active atmosphere.
And let's go, let's develop that a little bit from your standpoint. Not only are you involved in providing counseling and coaching and resources as they come into the program, but mm-hmm. are you also involved as they possibly would leave the program and go back out into the community?
What we do is we work with the family and the patient to really put together a plan of care, mm-hmm. a post-discharge mm-hmm. plan. And in that way, we connect our patients with resources so that after they leave, they have this web of support, hopefully, this network of support many times that they didn't have before. Okay. So in that way, we stay connected with them.
Good. Let's go to a story. Who has a warm and fuzzy, heartfelt story that they want to tell about one of their experiences?
We probably all do.
I'm sure we all do.
Well, then we can do all three of them. Okay, so Pat got the big grin on her face. So I'm going to begin with Pat. Pat, can you speak to that?
Well, I don't think it's one person. I'll just talk about a class.
Okay.
First of all, most people who come into our program don't come in social. Okay, that's an important thing. They come in because they've been isolating. They've been withdrawn. They don't want to have anything to do with anyone. In many cases, it's because perhaps they can't see very well. They're very depressed. They've had a stroke, so I'm going to speak to that. Many people have stopped talking because they're embarrassed about how they're speaking. So they come in and, you know, they observe for a while, and then we very gently encourage them to talk in group. And so many times people have left their stay, and they're talking. So they've had the confidence and the support, not only from us. We just facilitate. The group does the therapy, I always think. So it's so heartwarming to see that.
My partner, if he were here, he'd slap me upside the head. But the bottom line is I love what I do, and our services of Griswold Special Care are so important. But in one aspect, we have a tendency to isolate the individual in the home. Mm-hmm. And we have, as professionals, have to find resources that overcome that. And it's difficult at times.
Right.
It is
especially because of the, you know,
absolutely
resistance of.
Yeah. Sandy.
Okay. Well, I think of one lady in particular. She came to us. She was very depressed and at the same time very anxious. She was not functioning well at all. And people were thinking she was demented because she was so anxious and depressed, she really wasn't functioning. And by the time she left our program, she was active, she was happy, she was going back to playing bridge, taking art classes. And this was someone that we didn't know she was going to be able to do all that when she first came. And her family was so happy. They just wished that they'd found us 2 years earlier.
Is there a particular reason that you can put your finger on that changed her, this individual? I mean, I know you can't get into the specifics of the case, but...
Reason that I think of her?
No, the reason that she came into the program so depressed and anxious and left a vibrant individual. What?
I think what Pat mentioned about being socially isolated mm-hmm. was a big part of it for her.
Great. Karen, you got a warm and fuzzy for us?
I do, and I thought of this lady, and I said, okay, but you can't cry when you talk about her.
You won't be the first, so don't worry about it.
Well, you know, like Sandy, this was a lady that I'm thinking about, came into our program suffering from depression, having suffered from it really for many years. She was living alone, but very connected to the assisted living facility residence that she saw on a daily basis. She came into our program. She ended up staying several weeks and just soaked up all of the love, the nurturing, the information that each group provided for her. And she went, see, I'm tearing up. She discharged from our program, and about a week later, she passed away. Mm-hmm. But what I think about is the fact that we were able to provide her with that nurturing, what the last 2 weeks of her life.
Yeah.
And what that did for her family, to know that she was happy.
Yeah, and I really hope our listeners grabbed hold of that. The active word there was nurturing, and I appreciate that. That's a great story. Let me go ask a kind of a closing question to Sandy. If we have a listener who is at their wit's end with either a spouse or a parent or whoever it may be, what piece of advice could you give them from a high level? What piece of advice could you give them as they start trying to figure out what to do?
I would say, as far as in dealing with their parent, listening to them, being respectful of them, because I think a lot of times there gets to be a power struggle between the two that can exacerbate the stress in the situation. And as Pat said, to remember they're not children. They may need help. They may not be functioning at the level that they were, but they're still the parent. Yeah. And to maintain that level of respect, I think, is important. And then ask for help.
Yeah.
Look out, find resources. Keep looking till you find what you need to help you.
Yeah, great. I mean, as you said, that honor your parents, and you're not on an island by yourself. That's a great, great piece of advice. Thank you very much. I don't know who would like to speak to this. If our listeners need to get a hold of Wesley Woods, of the Transition Senior Program, how can they do that? What resources do you have that they could access?
Well, there are a couple ways you can get a hold of us. You can call our program director, mm-hmm. Ed Lawrence. His telephone number is 404-728-6975. The email is edlawrence, LAWRENCE, at emoryhealthcare.org. So he's the point of contact, and he can talk to you to see if your relative might be appropriate. Sometimes people self-refer. Mm-hmm. You know, that happens.
Ed.Lawrence.
Ed, I'm sorry. Yes, it's ed.Lawrence at emoryhealthcare.org. Thank you. Okay.
And is there a website?
The website is
WesleyWoodsCenter.org.
Okay. All right. Ladies, this was a great conversation. We've gone 35 minutes, and we could continue this for another 40 minutes, I'm sure. This is great information. This is the type of information, and you provide the services at Wesley Woods that I think are so vital for our seniors. Thank you for being our guest. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for today. We want to remind our listeners that if they'd like to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, they can do so at eugeriaradio.com. We want to thank all of our guests. We'd like to thank Randy, and congratulations to Holly. Thank our three guests here in Atlanta, beginning with Karen, Pat, and Sandy. And as we always end, we want to state that if the youth of our nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you and God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.